fell out of my pocket.
Well, good evening.
We'll try that again. It's good to be with you tonight. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 is what we're going to be studying tonight. When I was asked to speak this semester, I looked at the theme, and it is, I think, my favorite since I've been a student here, the sixth man study. I think it's a study that is necessary to have, because so often we talk about the Peters and the Pauls that we see in the Bible, but there are so many times that we fail to talk about the people like Aaron and Hur, who we're going to talk about tonight. I don't know how many of you watch college football, but there is a college football team in Texas, Texas A&M Aggies, that has a stadium that is known as the 12th man. It's known as the 12th man because of how loud it can get. Over 100,000 people will pack into that stadium any given Saturday during the fall, and they are not there just to support their team. They are there to literally help them win because of how loud it gets in there. For those of you that don't know anything about football, there are 11 people on the field at a time, so they are called the 12th man because they really do help Texas A&M win. And I'm really not looking forward to when Kentucky goes there in a few weeks, because we're going to lose. But tonight we're going to talk about two men in the Bible that were really embodied what we think of as the sixth man, or in the case of Texas A&M, the 12th man. If you're in Exodus chapter 17, we're going to start reading in verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew weary, so he took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. I think when I first read this story in preparing for this lesson, I thought of it not really as a story that sticks out a lot. Kind of like Lee said at the beginning, it's kind of an obscure story. And in it being obscure, it's one that I think is a lot like a lot of other scriptures we see in the Old Testament, a lot of other stories in the Old Testament, where we might just read over it and say, well, that's strange that was what God wanted him to do, but okay, and we read over it. But I think when we look and dig into this story, I think we're going to see so much more. Before we get into Aaron and Hur, really quickly, I want to talk about two things that we see from Moses in this story. So the children of Israel, if you look three chapters back in Exodus chapter 14, they have escaped from Egyptian captivity and they are on the way to the promised land. In Exodus 14, you see them move through the Red Sea. And now you see them come into contact with the first battle that they're going to have to fight against the Amalekites. And Moses tells Joshua, "Joshua, I need you to get an army together and go fight against them. I have the staff of God in my hand, and I'm going to go up to the top of this hill." And God told him, as long as his arms were up in the air, Israel would prevail. But whenever his arms fell, then the Amalekites would prevail. And the first thing that I want us to take from Moses tonight, what we see him doing, is that even though God is going to take care of whatever situation we face, we're going to have to be willing to put in some work too. You know, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the phrase, you can't pray for an A and study for a B. Have y'all heard that before? Because it's not going to work. In Moses' situation here, he knew that God wanted to take care of the children of Israel. They were his people. They were his people who he got out of Egyptian captivity, who he was going to take care of until they got to the promised land. Moses knew that. But Moses also understood that in order for that to happen, in order for God to continually take care of them, he was going to have to put in work himself. And so he was willing, even as obscure as it may be, he was willing to go up onto the top of that hill and to raise his arms up all day long until that battle was over and until the Israelites prevailed over the Amalekites. I don't know what situation it may be for you, whether it is an evangelistic situation, when you're praying to God, you see someone that needs the gospel and you pray to God and say, Lord, I need you to open doors for this person. Open doors so that this person can understand your word so that they can come to you. That's great to pray that, but then if we sit back and just wait for it to happen and don't take any initiative ourselves, then it may not happen. Or if you have a friend, someone you're close to that you know has fallen into sin, and you pray to God, Lord, I don't want them to continue in this sin. I want them to come out of this. Lord, open up doors, open up opportunities. Give me a chance to help them. And then when God does, when He provides that opportunity, you don't do it. See, you can't pray for an A and study for a B. Moses was willing, no matter what God said, he was willing to be the hands and feet of God. You see, that's what we are called to be on this earth. As servants of Him, we are called to be His hands and feet. We are called to be His workmanship. The second thing that we see from Moses that I want to take today is the faith that he put in God, no matter what. You know, I find it a little strange that God wanted Moses to hold up his hands, hold up his arms as long as the battle went on. I don't know why God wanted him to do that. But that is what God told Moses to do. And the way it reads in my Bible is that Moses did not ask a question. Moses said, that's what God told me to do. That's what I'm going to do, no matter what. You see, I think of other passages that we may read, such as in Joshua, when Joshua and his army were overtaking the city of Jericho. When God told Joshua, here's what I need you to do. I need you to march around the wall once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you need to march around the wall 7 times. There are going to be 7 priests with 7 trumpets of ram's horns. On the seventh time, they're going to blow those horns. You're going to scream and shout as loud as you can. And the walls are going to come down. And you're going to be able to overtake the city. That's weird. You know, I feel like if I were Joshua, I would have said, but God, can't I just like shoot some arrows over the top of the mountain? But that's not what Joshua did. If you read that story, Joshua never asked a question. He never said, God, but I have a better way that we could do this. Can't we try it this way? And it's the same in Moses' situation. I think it would have been easy for Moses to say, but God, do you realize how hard it's going to be for me to hold up my arms all day long? I don't think that's possible, God. I already have your staff in my hand. Why do I need to do anything else? How often do we do that in our lives? How often do we tell God, but God, I have a better way to do this? I challenge you tonight, in whatever you're doing for God's kingdom, trust in Him. Because God's mind is infinitely more wise than ours. Whatever we think we know, God knows it better. Whatever the situation is, whenever you say, God, I can do it this way and it'll still work out the exact same, I challenge you, follow what God says, because God's mind is so much better than ours. See, we can sit here and we can talk about what Moses did all night long. We can talk about how great it was that Moses took the initiative to hold his arms up so that his army would win. We can talk about all of the great things that Moses did in his life. But I think if we don't talk about what Aaron and Hur did, we're missing a lot of the point of this story. I think if we don't talk about how great it was that they did what they did, we're missing it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. This is what Robbie just read to us. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. But the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. What Moses did on that hill that day, the fact that he was able to hold his arms up for the extent of the battle is great. But it would not have been possible for him to do that without the help of Aaron and Hur. It would have been physically impossible for him to hold up his arms that long. That's what Scripture tells us, that his arms were getting weary. He couldn't do it anymore. But then Aaron and Hur stepped in. You see, I know that there are some of you in this audience that have Moses' characteristics. You have Moses' traits, that you are going to be the ones that lead. Some of you may end up being preachers. Some of you may be song leaders. Some of you may be Bible class teachers. Some of you in the future may be elders or deacons or elders' wives or deacons' wives. But I also know that in a crowd of people that may have some Moses, there are also a lot of you that are Aaron and hers. There are a lot of you that may say, I can't imagine getting in front of people and talking. I can't imagine teaching a Bible class. I can't imagine leading like that. I want to talk to you for just a second. And I want to tell you that just because you are not a Moses does not make you any less valuable to God. Just because you do not have the ability to stand in front of people, or you do not have the ability to lead from the front, does not make you any less valuable to God. It does not make it to where God can use you any less. You think about what we read in 1 Corinthians. If you take preaching, for example, as the mouth, if the mouth were the whole body, where would be everything else? If being an elder were the eyes, where would be everything else? Just as God made the human body so intricate, with so many parts that work together for good, that's how he created the church. I love the analogy that Paul used to describe the church. Because not everyone is a mouth, not everyone is an eye. Some people might be fingers or feet or whatever it may be. Not each and every one of us are going to have Moses' characteristics. But God is going to be able to use each and every one of us. I want you to raise your hand right now if you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are made in God's image. If you have your hand raised, I promise you that God can use you. And I promise you that God wants to use you. Just as he used Aaron and Hur in that moment, because I don't know what the conversation was among the children of Israel after that. I'm sure that they know what Moses did to help them prevail in battle. I don't know what the conversation sounded like, but I do think that there was a lot more talk about what Moses did than about what Aaron and Hur did. But the thing is, we have to have both. Because without Aaron and Hur, the feat that Moses did on that mountain that day would not have been possible. At the end of every NBA season, there is an awards ceremony and given out as, you know, the awards Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player, and all of that. But there's also an award called Sixth Man of the Year. That award is not given out to say, hey, you were the best person that wasn't good enough to start. No, that award is given out to the person that best supports their team. Yes, the NBA needs the LeBron Jameses in the league to lead the team. But I think if you look at last season, NBA fans, you know that it's not always possible for the LeBron James to win on his own. He needs support. The church is the same way. The church, God created the church to be a support for all of the people to support one another, just as Aaron and Hur did for Moses on that day. The last thing that I want to talk about tonight is the spiritual support that we get in the church. I know that each and every one of us in our Christian lives are going to have highs and we are going to have lows. Being a Christian is not easy. If you can find it anywhere in the Bible that says if you follow Jesus, your life is going to be easier, please let me know. Because I think we find the exact opposite. That being a Christian is going to bring challenges. Following Jesus is going to be hard. But in God's infinite wisdom, in the way He created the church, He created it as a support. So that each and every one of us can look around and have support. Look around in this auditorium. Look at the people sitting beside you. The people sitting in front and behind you. You may say, well, I don't have much in common with these people. You know, I might be in a different social club than them. We might be studying something different. We might have different hobbies. Whatever it may be, we might be different. But the one thing that each and every one of us have in common with each other is that we are all children of God. And the way that God created the church is that each and every one of us are able to be there to hold each other's arms up. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 is a verse that so often is taken out of context. It's the verse that people always quote when they say, well, God's never going to give you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It says, He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Not because we are so strong on our own. No. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When you couple that verse with what you see in Galatians 6 and verse 2 that says, bear one another's burdens, that's what God wants us to do. Because the fact of the matter is, we are not going to be able to do this alone. Our Christian walk together is not going to be able to be done by ourselves. I don't know what God's intentions were for having Aaron and Hur on that mountain with Moses. I don't know if they were just up there just because. I don't know if they were helping up the mountain. I don't know if they were keeping him company. But what I do know is that when Moses was in a time of need, when he was doing the will of God, when he needed something, God provided. And God provided with the people that were closest to him that wanted the best for him. And that's what the church is. That's how God has created his church. So that no matter what you go through, whether you are at your highest point on the top of the mountain spiritually, or if you are at your very, very lowest in a valley, that you have so many people around you that want to help hold your arms up. Aaron and Hur played such a big part in the story that we read in Exodus chapter 17. Like I've said before, without them, it would have been impossible. But Aaron and Hur saw an opportunity to help someone. They saw an opportunity. They said, we know that Moses is at a weak point. We know that he needs someone. And so no matter what it was, even though it may not have been the most glorious task ever to hold the guy's arms up for I don't even know how many hours, they were willing to do it without hesitation. So I want to ask you, who are you being an Aaron and a Hur for? Who are you willing to hold up? Whose arms are you willing to hold up? Tonight, if you need something, whether it be that you have fallen into sin and temptation has overtaken you and you need a way out, whether you need prayers for strength in whatever's going on in your life, or whether you want to become a member of the Lord's church through baptism. Whatever it may be, if you need to come forward tonight, don't come forward thinking that all of these hundreds of people here are going to look at you and say, well, what has he done? Or, well, what has she done? Instead, I want you, if you need to come forward, I want you to come forward knowing that there are hundreds of people around you that want to help hold up your arms. If there's anything that we can do for you tonight, please come while we stand and sing. All